Today's episode of Young and Happy is brought to you by the Dollar Shave Club. The Dollar Shave Club is the smarter choice. Get a great shave at a great price, conveniently delivered right to your door. It's an awesome life hack and a no-brainer choice. You no longer have to schlep to the store to buy a cheap disposable razor that gives you a cheap shave. When I use my DSC Executive Razor with their Dr. Carver Shave Butter, the blade just gently glides, giving me such a smooth shave. Their Dr. Carver Shave Butter is transparent for a more precise shave, helps prevent ingrown hairs, and fights razor bumps. You, too, can make the smarter choice by joining Dollar Shave Club. For a limited time, new members get their first month of the Executive Razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver Shave Butter for only $5 with free shipping. That's right, $5 with free shipping. After that, razor's just a few bucks a month. In your first month box, you get an awesome weighty handle, a full cassette of four cartridges, and a tube of their shave butter. After your first month, replacement cartridges ship automatically, automatically at their regular price. There's no hidden fees, no commitments. Cancel anytime you like, even though you won't want to. Join the club today at dollarshaveclub.com/YAH. Yah. That's dollarshaveclub.com/yah. They keep the lights on. They help us bring this podcast to you, so please support them at dollarshaveclub.com/yaw. Young and Happy.
I'm just trying to make things more fun and more interactive.
Be glad from a wow way, baby.
Did I express myself? Did I let my light shine through?
You can do anything you put your mind to. Never give up on your dreams.
I'm living for the moment.
It's a hit.
Every day, Saturday, and every day I feel good.
You got no sauce, man. You're lost.
This is Young and Happy.
Ron, what's good, baby? Last episode with this entire country between us. And then you're going to be back in action, back in Manhattan, back in the mix. You said the office is fighting. You can be a part of the fight. You can be in my corner. You can be in Dave's corner. You can be in, what are you going to do when you get back? What's your first plan of action? I know we talk about it all the time, but I'm still interested because last week you said that your first thing you were going to do is install what did he say he was going to stall, Producer Ben?
Teleprompters.
Teleprompters. So has you changed the tune on that, or is that still what your first mission is when you get back?
I think that... Can you hear me? You can hear me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to... It's the drapes. I think we need drapes for the front. In the front, we need like a gold curtain rod and some type of drapes. I think that would really do us well. It's the lighting, which has everybody all messed up. Also, I think we should stick... an AIDS needle on a random chair every week. And so someone's going to sit down and get AIDS if they're not careful. It'll just promote us being a little bit more careful throughout the week. These are just a couple ideas that I have. Also, I'm going to have a one day a month, we're going to do a school bus pickup, where a school bus is going to ride around to everybody's apartment or house or wherever they live and pick everybody up. And it's going to be a team building exercise where we all bully each other and hash out all our problems just by sitting on a school bus for a while. We're also going to do a weekly Gatorade bath segment where we bathe one another in Gatorade to just kind of bring back this celebratory feel, to kind of influence the idea that we're all on the same team and that we can all push things together and celebrate one another. Also, I was thinking of having a shopping spree day where a random employee, namely myself, gets a Barstool-funded shopping spree. I don't know. These are just a couple ideas that I was going to come back in with. What do you think?
I think we should do them like where every Thursday just we all get to go and just pick out like a jersey and we wear it in competition against one another. But
yes.
Then we get the winner gets to keep the jersey. So like we could accumulate a really massive quantity of really cool and unique rare jerseys that would be paid for by Barstool Sports. Thoughts?
My thoughts on Jersey is I think that we should be doing it with suits or steaks. Actually, steaks. Steak reviews, bringing in a steak, eat a nice steak.
Yo, so all jokes aside, all kidding aside, this is our last show. You've been gone for what seems like forever. I really, really am looking forward to you coming back. I think it's going to be very good for Young and Happy. I think it's going to be good for Barstool Sports in general. It's going to be good for me on a personal level. With that being said, what have you? I mean, last week you were done already. Like, what have you been doing? Weren't you in Philly?
Yo, if you're the Eagles, would you draft someone who is also a Christian like Carson Wentz, or would you draft like some character issue guys and hope that the leads their flock?
I'm not gonna lie, you blanked out on that one. I didn't hear.
You gonna hear what I said?
No.
Oh fuck me, man.
Was it?
If you're the Eagles, would you pick someone with good character or someone with bad character, and just hope that Carson Wentz could lead the flock?
I'd probably pick like an atheist for diversity.
Yeah, like Joe Mixon, who punched a girl. Like, just get him on the squad for diversity.
Or like a conflicting interest Christian, like Michael Sam.
I forgot that Michael Sam is Christian.
I don't know if he is, but that would be great.
But he probably loves the body of Christ. If you know what I mean.
Oh, boy.
Man, I just can't wait to get back to Barstool, because right now it seems like there's so much feuding going on.
Oh, man. It's because, like, everyone is finally just settled in. Like, there's all like the new nuances of what was going on, and like it being new and everyone being nice to each other, just like worn off. It's just like now it's like you come in every single day and it's the same people. You sit in the same seat and you do the same things. And like just like any other type of relationship, eventually, if you're not best friends with the person and you're not like you so people start rubbing themselves the wrong way. We also got some new characters in here that not everyone gets along with great. So that's going to happen, I think. I think it's just a natural progression. I think what's going to happen when you come back, if I had to make a prediction, is you'll come back. You'll have a great attitude. You've been in the vitamin D the entire winter. You've been writing for a show. You've had a break from Barstool. You'll come back. You're going to be happy. Everyone's going to treat you nice. Everyone's going to be super excited for you to be back. And then about a month, 6 weeks later,
it'll all come crashing down.
It'll just be the same. I mean, like, this is how it goes pretty much, I think.
Damn.
I'll give you 6 weeks, though. I think you're a strong 6 weeks guy. I mean, I would say some guys, probably one day guys. I think you can keep your mojo and your momentum for 4 to 6.
That's sick, bro. I appreciate that, man. Mm-hmm. Especially considering that you think it's just toxic right now. But that's what I'm like. Do you think that is Barstool a negative place to work?
Yes.
Is there any way you can make it not that? Is there any awareness that we could bring to the table and be like, let's look at what we're doing collectively?
Okay, so this is what I think. One, yeah, of course, probably, maybe, most likely not, because Dave's ahead of it, and he's, like, actually not a negative guy, but he's very, like, he's not afraid to be confrontational. I wouldn't say he's confrontational by nature, but he's not afraid to be, just as himself. And so I think a lot of people mistake that for, like, his brashness. I think they mistake his brashness for confrontational. And then people try to emulate that. And then people realize now, with the stool scenes, which is the recap of what happens in the office, an easy way to make it on stool scenes, or an easy way to, you know, to gain traction with a storyline is a negative way. Like, it's much easier to pull – if you're pulling someone down, it's much easier to pull someone down than to pull them up. You know, it's, like, much easier to get on camera doing – you know, fighting and that type of thing, than it is to like make super funny content. So the real truth of the matter is they're both interesting. Mm. Fighting and is interesting as well as super funny content. One of them's just harder. So I think
that's probably why we see such a rush of reality shows and housewives type shows where the main content is just bickering. And it's like, damn, is that what Barstool wants to become? Or is that just going to be like an underbelly undercurrent of Barstool?
Yeah,
but
I think
if that's
it
our
is.
Most compelling content, that like is the bickering.
That's
or
bad
like-
news. It's bad news. But the good thing about Barstool, I don't think it is our most compelling content. I think you got guys like Part of My Take guys who are out doing funny stuff. I think when you come back, we'll be out doing funny stuff. I think you know, Dave always is going to do Dave. People are doing things that are funny, but the one thing that's always going to remain the same is like fighting is interesting. It's just very like tribal. It's very primal, instinctual. Like that's just going to always be interesting because that's just how we're set up. Like I don't know like the technicalities behind it, but I would imagine there is some connection to like when we used to be like in tribes actually, and we were like fighting was actually super important, who was fighting and who wasn't, and it was like key to survival. Not so much the case anymore, however, still interesting and still intriguing. Much like sugar, used to need it, now not so much, but still very tasty. So
But maybe there's another way to fight with people, and that's like be better than them, or like produce funnier stuff than them, or be competitive without being personally having a vendetta against somebody. It's like being on a gymnastic squad where everybody's trying to get tens instead of fucking being on like one of those military fucking races where everybody piles on top as to get to the top of the pole. Like, you know what I mean? We can all try to get tens.
No,
or 16s in modern gymnastics.
I agree with you. My approach to it, and like I would not like one thing about, and I don't even know if my approach is correct. I don't know what the best way to go about it is. It's just I kind of like I just try to go about my thing, do what I'm doing. The problem is though, is that you are including yourself. If you're a barstool, you are including yourself in what goes on day to day. And like a refusal to have an opinion on something, or a refusal to appear in something when you're being asked, like if Young Pageviews, who films the stool scenes, comes up to you and he's like, yo, what are your thoughts on this? What are your comments on this? And you're like, I don't have anything to say. Then that's kind of lame too. It's like he has a job. He needs people in the office to say what they want to say. So you do have to have an opinion, and you can't just completely remove yourself from it. But I do think it's more important to be focused on creating funny things and good content and being positive. I don't even think, like, for me, like, I'm not creatively competitive, I don't think. Like, I think that some people are, that's what drives you. But, like, I think me is more like I just want to make something. When I'm making videos or whatever, like, oh, this is funny. Like, this is really funny. I'm not super. Now, in sports, I was different.
It's like masturbating. It's like you masturbate with your videos. It's like you do it for yourself.
Yeah, like, I don't really. It's probably a good way of saying it. Like, I really don't. Yeah, I don't care, like, about. Like, I hope everyone else is having fun. I hope everyone else is, like, using your analogy. I hope everyone else is getting to have orgasms, but it's not going to affect mine. So, like, let me just do what I'm doing. So. Yeah, I think right. I don't know if that's the best way to approach it. That's just kind of how I am. So
fuck it. Who cares? Who knows what the best way to approach something is? As long as you decide where you're going to approach it.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I'm super pumped for you to come back, because I think a lot of ideas we've been floating, a lot of like video content, a lot of I'm super excited about this podcast in itself. Having to get, I mean, we've had a whole episode almost about what guests we wanted to have on, but like I'm ready to start getting these guys in here, and I'm ready to start like really
or African American people.
Wow, guys, girls are African Americans. You never know. Yeah, maybe we get some. Maybe we get my favorite rapper, Head Ice, on here.
Ooh, don't do me like that.
Just joking. You're my favorite rapper.
That's okay. I don't even have to be, but I do appreciate it. Did you think? Oh, you're not going down to Philly or anything like that?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to Philly. When this podcast comes out, I'll probably be in Philly.
Amazing.
For the NFL draft.
Amazing. What's your plans? What are you doing? I'm so pissed that I'm not going to be in Philly. We got to. You know what we should do as some kind of video content? Not only do some shit in Philly, show you around Philly, do some funny Philly stuff, but we should also go to the Jersey Shore this summer. Like South Jersey Shore.
Definitely. I'm pumped for you to come back, because like that's the type of thing. It's like we can do so much like video stuff. Like the podcast is, man, I don't want to sit here and complain, because there's nothing to complain about, but it's going to be a lot easier and more exciting once you're back, which, like, if you've made it this far and you're a listener who shall not be named, and you've still been listening throughout Rowan's departure from the Manhattan office, and you've been like keeping up with what's what, and been following on the social medias at Yaw Show Yaw, like, you deserve what you're about to get next, which I think is like extremely great content.
I wish we could give these people, those listeners who shall not be named, like a exclusive pass to listen to the shit early. Like, if we're this deep into it, like, if we put together some kind of Ovaltine message that they could, like, listen to or see some video content exclusively just to reward their loyalty.
I know. We got to think of a way to do it. Because I agree with you. And just to shoot some ideas, talking about ideas, I think this is not the way people do things right now at Barstool, but I don't understand why, and I think this is something we need to do at Young and Happy. I don't understand why anyone would stop this. I think there needs to be a video version of every podcast on YouTube. And I think whether it's, you know, getting actually make, like getting producer Ben to like figure out a way to have it filmed with guys, or whether it's just the cameras that are in the podcast room, whatever it is, there's no reason why there shouldn't be a visual component of this, because I know I watch Joe Rogan podcast every day. I don't watch.
I watched Stool Drive Time the other day, and I sat down and I watched them sit in the podcast room and talk to each other.
It's interesting.
It's interesting. There's an added dynamic when you see someone interacting with one another. I do crazy shit with my hands, but no one gets to see it because it's audio.
Right. So exactly. So I think that there should be a visual component of this, and it should be on YouTube, and it should be accessible for everybody. It should be very shareable, and you can stumble across it if you're just on YouTube surfing the web, and you might be searching, you know, Chase Elliott,
Kendrick Lamar's new song.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Those are two different ideas, but yeah, exactly. Either or, and then you're going to see Chase Elliott on Y'all, Young and Happy, or you're going to see Young and Happy because of you listening to Y'all by Kendrick Lamar. So then you're going to start watching us, getting into the personalities, getting to the show, and then all of a sudden, you're a listener who should not be named. That's one idea. Another idea I have is I know that everyone has their own podcast at Barstool, and everyone can put it out on the site once a week. Cool, dandy, love cool. It. That doesn't mean I don't think, Ron, that we can only do one podcast a week. I think we should be able to pop in here anytime we want. We have the resources and put them out. There's no, like, on Podcast One, which is the site we use to publish the podcast, there's no, like, limit on the amount you can publish. I don't understand if, like, something happens in the news. I mean, you want to get our thoughts off on it. We go come in here for 15, 20 minutes, pop out a podcast. If people want to listen to it, they have it. If they don't, great. Don't listen to it. Just wait for the weekly podcast or whatever with the guest. But I don't think we should be as limited, I think, as some of – or as a podcast
an issue or something. I 100% agree with that. I think that Young and Happy is something that we should be working on every day. And yeah. I'm excited to be working on it every day instead of just like from time to time when we have it scheduled or whatever.
Right, and you know who brought us Young and Happy today, Ron? Mattresses, mattresses, mattresses. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Lisa Sleep. Lisa is an innovative mattress company, and more importantly, Larry 2's sponsor, RIP. I guess that's a part of my take thing, Larry 2, RIP, who has completely improved that dreaded old school mattress buying experience, excuse me. So much so, we invented the tagline for them. Okay.
Mattresses, mattresses, mattresses.
Oh, that's a tagline. Okay, Dave invented that. So, like, okay, I'm with that. Mattresses, mattresses, mattresses. No one wants to spend hours visiting those awkward showrooms where you're forced to spend thousands of dollars on subpar mattresses. Lisa's changed the game so that you can now enjoy the comfort of a luxury mattress at a fraction of the price. The Lisa mattress starts at just $525. It is quickly and conveniently ordered online, made to order, and shipped compressed in a box to your door within days. Unboxing the mattress, which is half the fun, took me less than 5 minutes. Okay, I'm going to say this one thing. Two things about Lisa mattresses. Three things. One, go to lisamattress.com/barstool today and receive an exclusive $75 off the Lisa mattress just for stoolies. So that's one. Lisa mattress, lisa.com/barstool, get $75 off, excuse me, I'm tripping, because I had 3 points. I want to remember all of them. That's
okay.
One.
That's a lot of points, yeah.
Two.
You're doing great.
Two, I can personally support and condone the use of Lisa mattresses. One, because I support Young and Happy, which allows us to do Young and Happy and will allow us to fulfill all these dreams and ideas we have. And also, it's a nice mattress. I sleep on one. And finally, three, in their ad, they just need to work on this. In their ad, they say, unboxing the mattress, which is half the fun, took less than 5 minutes. Now, I was reading that, and it's true. When I did unbox my mattress, it actually did take less than 5 minutes, but I was actually reading that part. It might have come across so smooth, it seemed like I wasn't reading it. But listen, unboxing the mattress, which is half the fun, took me less than 5 minutes. That's a line I read. Why would you promote that? The half of the fun took less than 5 minutes. You should be like, unboxing the mattress, unfortunately, took me less than 5 minutes.
Because it was so damn fun.
It's so fun, and it's like over in less than 5 minutes.
It's only the start of the fun. Unboxing the mattress is 1% of the fun, and it's the gateway to fun.
The fun begins with a less than 5 minute pleasurable experience of unboxing the mattress.
That's beautifully said.
Just a note to our friends at lisa.com/barstool for $75 off Lisa Mattresses.
So I was at Barstool for 3 months before I came out to California. And when I came up to Barstool, like the first, I like kind of moved up very quickly, almost on a whim. And I was like, well, they have all these mattress sponsors. So I'll just buy like a blow up mattress and like week one, I'll just get a free mattress or something like that. I'll just grab myself a mattress or like use one of these amazing deals and just grab me a mattress. And the whole time I was too scared to ask anybody for a free mattress. And I just slept on the blow up mattress the entire time. So when I get back to New York, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get myself a Lisa mattress and get myself a goddamn good sleep.
Well, I got some bad news for you, Mr. Rohn, and some good news. Which would you rather have first?
Which one sets up your premise better? Which one's going to sound better?
They're both fine.
Give me the bad first.
Bad news. Dave took all of the free mattresses. So, yes, there were free mattresses available. Dave took them all.
To where?
I think his Nantucket house.
Well, he should be doing the reads then.
Well,
he's got all the product.
Well, here's the good news. Go to lisa.com. LEESA.com/Barstool today and receive an exclusive $75 off the Lisa mattress just for you, Stoolies. And I crossed out Stoolies there and I'm writing Roan.
Okay, cool.
$75 off for my boy Roan. Young and happy.
This is Jim Carrey and you're listening to Young and Happy. Alrighty then.
Yo, you want to know something about my room? I've been here for almost 9 months now. 10 months, and I still, in my room, when you walk in, I'm not kidding, I need to send this picture to our social media guys so they can post it. When I walk into my room at my house in Brooklyn, in Greenpoint,
dope.
There is a mattress on the floor, Lisa mattress on the floor, and it's queen, and then there's a chair. I bought a recliner chair because I like to read, so I bought a recliner chair so I could read and have somewhere to sit in my room, and then there's nothing else.
Really?
Not a thing on the wall. I don't have a decoration on the wall. Not one. I don't have anything hung up. Anything. I don't have place to put my clothes. Like, all my clothes are just in pile. Like, there's like a dirty pile and there's like a clean folded pile. And they're like on the floor. Both of them are on the floor. And I don't even have like one of these like little small rooms that people talk about in New York City. I have a big room because I'm in Greenpoint. So it's like not expensive. So I pay the like the same price you might pay for like a closet in New York City. I have a pretty big room in Greenpoint. I haven't even bothered to like put one decoration up. I'm so ashamed. I'm just ready to just move out of the place.
Really? Why?
I want to go in the city.
Just be right by work.
I want to be, it's not even being next to work. It's just, I want to be like in the mix. Like when you go out to Brooklyn, like you're completely removing yourself from the situation. That
yeah, it's like going to Jersey.
Yeah, it was exactly like it's leaving. I mean, the only difference is I guess that's a, you're leaving a state, but it's like going to Long Island or going into any other boroughs. Like you're leaving the city, you're leaving Manhattan. So,
but that was some sneaky shit by New York to call it all New York, and even that they called this state New York. Like that's like what, like as far as the eye can see, that's some fucking Lion King shit. Like no, it's not all New York.
New York City should just be Manhattan,
right? Exactly.
The fact that I was like out in I was in New York City. Dude, wait. This might sound super dumb. Is the Hamptons considered New York City?
No.
It's on Long Island.
It's not one of the seven boroughs, though. Not the city. Or one of the fucking five boroughs.
But no, but the Long Island's one of the boroughs.
I don't think it is.
Can we look that up? The boroughs are Queens.
There's probably
Brooklyn.
Some New York people that are fucking rolling their eyes.
Wait, is it Staten Island as the borough?
Manhattan, no. The Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, and Staten Island.
Staten Island. Okay, that's on me. That's on me. I'm from North Carolina. Take it back.
So the people in Long Island still fucking, they're like, yeah, I'm from New York. I'm from Long Island. It's like, no, bro, you're from another fucking town. Stop that. Yeah. Cut that out.
You're misleading the people.
It's like, if you're from a suburb of New York, that's it. Bro, your abs are looking strong, bro. Caleb's
can you
doing
see
a little
me?
Ezekiel. Yeah, dog.
Oh, we can't
Caleb's
see
doing
you.
A little Ezekiel Elliott pulling his shirt up, checking his own abs out.
We can't see you. I'm just bored.
Navel gazing. Have you ever heard of what nasal gaze? Ben, look up navel gazing. Navel gazing.
That's weird that he's like looking at us while we're just like sitting here. We can't see you at all. We're just
you
like
keep on looking at the screen. You're both
I'm just
facing
bored.
The
I mean, like I'm looking at my stomach now.
Oh,
navel
bored.
Gazing
wow.
is a noun. It's self-indulgent or excessive contemplation of oneself or a single issue at the expense of a wider view.
So you're now, saying that I'm losing perspective so I can look at my belly button?
You were just literally navel
now,
gazing.
Listen, now I'm looking dead at the screen because I know I'm looking into your eyes. I can't see you at all.
That's amazing.
This is like whenever you look into a camera and you're doing a video and you're like talking to the viewer at home, but you're really just looking into a lens. That's what I'm doing.
It's
with you right
like
now.
What, and most people don't know. Like most people probably haven't done that. Like when someone's doing their little ESPN remote location type thing, you're just looking into like a wall, and
it's
you just have someone
weird.
In your ear. It is. It's got to be weird. Like you did your fucking your ESPN talking head thing.
Yeah. No. I was in a little tiny room with like a camera, and it looks so big on ESPN, but it's like a little.
It's weird
tiny
to be funny.
Room.
Is it harder or easier to be funny when you're just in a room?
I think it's the same amount of. Actually, it's harder because it's easier when you can like play off somebody and like you can see their body language, and especially when like I couldn't see the guy. So when I was doing ESPN, like you don't there's not like a screen where you see the guy talking to you and then
right.
you respond another screen. Like you just completely can't see him. You have a little earpiece that. You hear what he's saying, and it's on delay, so like it's hard to like get in quick quips with a little tape delay.
No, I understand that, but I kind of feel like when I'm in a room alone and I don't have the person there, I can be a little bit funnier because there's like a little dissociation, and I don't care if they're there. I don't even treat them like a real person.
Wow,
I've never
doing
been
right
on
now?
ESPN. Yeah, no. You're navel gazing, bro.
I'm not anymore because now I know you're looking at me. I'm looking into the screen. I'm looking into the lens. Yo, you want to hear something funny? Or not funny, but interesting?
Okay. I like that setup. That premise got me fired up. Woohoo! I do want to hear something fucking interesting.
Do you know whenever... Okay, so whenever we first started planning Young and Happy, this is back in the very, very old days, like when third voice guy was in the mix. Remember that?
Yeah. He who shall not be named.
Yeah, well, he's gone now. He's like third voice guy on our Barstool Sirius radio show. They basically just stole the idea. But back in those days, we talked about every single week we were going to like try something and then like report back on how it was. Remember that?
Right.
And one of the things we talked about trying was nootropics or nootropics, right? I don't know how you pronounce it. Nootropics?
Right.
I've been taking nootropics for probably... 2 to 3 to 4 weeks now.
Oh my god.
And I haven't told you, I forgot to tell you.
Why would you keep this from me?
I don't know. Obviously my they're not working as well as they should be.
You forgot to tell me. They promote good memory, but I just forgot to.
Or
that
just shows
it.
You how bad my memory was in the first place.
Right. You're coming back because you remembered at some point.
Yeah, but no, like I've been, so I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast, I think we talked about earlier today. I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast, and like he talks, that's where I first heard about him, and then I did research on him with you guys, and then I continued to research about him. I sit next to PFT commenter in the office. He was taking some for a while, so I was talking to him about him. And then finally, I pulled the trigger, and I got, I'm not going to say which ones I got because it's free ads, and we don't do free ads here. But let's just say I got the ones though, that Joe Rogan uses because I trust him. It's called Alpha Brain. And basically what it does, what it claims to do, it's like all herbal. It's like plant-based. So you're not like taking like an Adderall or something like that where it's like messing up the – to my knowledge, and I did do extensive research, you're not messing with the chemical balances in your brain. You're basically just taking things – like plant extracts, so on and so forth, that promote brain health and basically your brain like functioning on an optimal level.
Don't plants have chemicals in them?
What do you mean?
Just like naturally occurring.
Yeah, I think, but like if we're gonna do it on that
so
level, we'd be like everything's a chemical.
I love that. Absolutely love that.
You know what
All
I'm
right,
saying?
Go on. Right. So you're taking, you're
I'm
on
just saying
Alpha
it's not
Brain
like, it's
right
not
now.
Adderall. Like, if you take an Adderall.
I don't want to hate on Alpha Brain, but that's kind of a douchey name. Alpha Brain.
Would you rather be beta brain?
No, hell no. Cuck brain? That ain't me, man.
No, so
but alpha brain, that's just some Alex Jones shit.
What are you trying to hate on Alex Jones? He might be a guest.
That's what I'm saying. That's your guy.
That's my guy.
Yo. I read a ton. Oh, man. Yeah, go ahead.
What were you going to say? You've been reading about Alex Jones?
No, I haven't read a ton. I stopped myself because I haven't read a ton of anything. I'm just not a good focused reader.
Some people have a hard time reading.
Yeah. I'm not good at focus, but
maybe you take some alpha brain.
Dude, maybe that's what it is. I've been taking some nice a multivitamin.
I've been doing that for like 4 weeks.
Feels good. Feels freaking good.
Can you tell a difference or no?
Yeah, I think I can. I really think I freaking can.
Well, I basically get all my supplement knowledge, it might not be all my supplement knowledge, but like it's definitely the origin is definitely Joe Rogan podcast. And then if he talks about it, then I might look it up, research it. I might, if I'm really into it, I might even try it. So like this winter in New York City, there's no sun. And so like I did vitamin D because you get the vitamin D from the sun. Well, it doesn't exist in New York City in the winter. And that's how people get super depressed. So I took vitamin D. I took a multivitamin. And I know you're supposed to take vitamin B. I did never get into vitamin B. But then I also was taking, still am, fish oil every day. And now alpha brain. And what alpha brain has done for me, let me tell you, Ron, is I can't tell a difference.
Wow.
During the day. But at night, my God, bro, these dreams.
Really?
These dreams are crazy.
Well, what about them? Is it like that you remember more of them, or you
they're just more vivid? They're vivid and they're like very like. Do you know like whenever you use the word dreamy, or like you see it in a movie, like a dream sequence, and it's kind of like faded, and it's kind of like very ephemeral, and it's like you can't really touch it, and it's you're always grasping at what it is or what's next, and you can never really get to that level.
Yes.
It's like this is like watching a movie in like 3D, and it's like and the whole experience is like you're super in it, you're super aware. Now, lucid dreaming is when you are dreaming of something and can control the dream. Some people have said that like they can do that. I haven't ever gotten to that point, but it was lucid in the sense that it was very like real and vivid.
Tactile.
Yes. And that's been like a continuous thing, and it hasn't affected my sleep in a sense of like it's hard to go to sleep. Once again, it's not like taking an Adderall or a stimulant where you're like wired. Like I don't feel any more energy, or I don't feel a buzz. It's not even like drinking a coffee. None of that. It's just like I go to sleep at nighttime, and then I just know that I'm having crazy dreams because I can like kind of remember them, and then they kind of shake off during the day, just like a normal dream would. But super weird stuff.
How long before Uncle Sam cracks down and makes it illegal?
I don't know if he can, dude, because it's just
class 1 felony.
Well, I was gonna say just a plant, but I guess weed's a plant too, huh?
That's right, bro. Fucking spark up, dog.
Yeah, I don't know. But if anyone's listening, they're like old of age and they're interested in trying, like having crazy dreams. I'm telling you, man, this stuff is wild.
Is there no side effect? Does your pee smell funny? Taste funny? How's your pee taste?
I haven't. I would recommend, as I did, everyone to read about it a little bit, at least know what you're getting yourself into. I don't think they're super dangerous. I definitely read that there was no one was talking about, you know, the dangerous side effects. Ben, you want to type in alpha brain and just see if anything comes up that we need to tell the listeners about? But I have not, on a personal level, noticed any type of side effects at all, except for the first day when I first took them, I did feel like super locked in, like super like hyper-focused, which I don't like. I don't like being like hyper-focused, but then even that doesn't happen to me anymore. I don't know if that was like, that could have easily been a placebo effect as well.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying? Like on top of getting the benefit, you're also focused. Like super like, am I too focused? Is this what I'm taking?
Like, this is the shit. I could study for 5 hours right now.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if it was just that, but yeah, dude, it's crazy. You seen anything, Ben?
That sounds like a no, folks.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't, if you type in side effects,
I see headaches, restlessness, nervousness.
You nervous, bro?
I'm not nervous.
What are you nervous about?
No headaches.
What are you so nervous about?
Restless, not restless.
Anything else? Consciousness of stress in cerebral cortex.
See, I mean, like that sounds like a, I don't know what that means, but it sounds positive. Like the
stress. Anytime you have a stress cortex.
Oh, if like your cerebral cortex is doing something, I'd be like, awesome. About time.
Yeah. Your cerebral cortex has to get fucking active. Nothing like firing up the old cerebral cortex, sprinkling some iodine on the brain and woo.
But no, what you're like, that reminds me, you saying that. You know how the other week you were talking about how important it is to write and like flex your writing muscles?
Yes.
I was thinking about this because we are going back to like the Barstool basketball you were talking about earlier.
Yes, that's a good segue because I want to talk about that shit too.
Okay, well, cool. I was going to say, a quick point was just like, I'm so bad at basketball now, and I used to be like in eighth grade. I was on the phone with my mom telling like, yo, in eighth grade, I was doing things on the basketball court that I cannot do now. And it's so frustrating, but just I haven't practiced. What are you going to do? You lose it if you don't practice. And I was thinking, but if I continue to play, I told my mom, for the rest of the season, by the last game, I'll probably be pretty good. Like, I'll probably be back to where I was. But it's going to take this time to practice and go through the frustration. With writing, I find it very hard to work through the frustration, harder than sports.
Why?
I don't know, dude. It's just different. Like in sports, I think it's because I've done it enough times in sports, whether it's football, it's basketball, what have you. I've done it enough times. I've worked through the frustrations, whether it's lifting weights, like knowing that this hurts right now, but I am going to see results, or whether it's basketball, it's like I'm missing bad right now, but if I keep shooting, I'm going to see results. In writing, I don't think I've ever seen the end result before of like, okay, I finally am coming around to my writing, so it's harder for me to work through the frustrating processes or whatever, however you say it, of writing.
Huh.
Thoughts?
I think that it's something that you just keep working at. I think that what's tough about writing now is that like there is like you don't get to be a peewee writer right now. You know what I mean? Like in football, you start fucking playing football when you're young as fuck, and the stakes are very low when you're playing against another 7-year-old. But right now, like people are going to see your writing and they're going to critique it like you're a pro football player. You know exactly what I mean? Like they're going to see what you do on Barstool. So I think that maybe do some off time writing, maybe work on some of your own shit to write on, or just
no,
like
that makes sense.
Develop shit behind the scenes that so people don't critique it, so you can grow and parade out of the closet as this fucking fantastic ass writer.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense. It's like you got to treat your when you publish, because the thing is nowadays it's so easy to publish. Well, for us, I mean it's easy to publish for anybody, but like us, we can publish on like a huge, huge stage with millions of people. We can publish at any time. Back in the day, like if you want to get published, you really got to work your craft.
You had to put the fucking letter by letter into a printing press. People would write the shit and would put the fucking P's and Q's backwards in the printing press so they could press it up and put out broadsheets every day. Like every letter was important then. Now it's like a brand to misspell. Like and fucking like it's funny. It's like, but it's like there's less of an importance to the shit. But also another way you could hone it is just fucking write a million blogs on Barstool. Just write fucking like 7 blogs a day of fucking 2 paragraphs each and just fucking crank to like give yourself a crash course on just writing and fucking finding.
Just do a disclaimer at the top like, yo, I'm new to this, not a pro.
Yeah, do it under a pseudonym. Yeah. Do a little Charles Dickens or something.
Dr. Seuss. And,
exactly. Wow.
Okay, let's get into basketball. Before we do that, I do want to tell you guys about someone who helped bring us the show today, which is the Books Company. I'm assuming it's they're going towards the bouquet. The Books Company is probably how you pronounce it.
The Books Company. Spell that?
Bouqs. Is that how you would say it? Books?
The Books.
Because, I mean, bouquet is Bouquets?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So let's go with the Books Company. Sending flowers has always been the best way to show someone you care. But if you're the one doing the sending, it isn't always easy or satisfying. You're lured in with a $19.99 advertised price, and when you check out, it's $94. What happened? There are hidden fees that leave you with a big bill and even bigger disappointment when your flowers show up looking different than the pictures and only last a few days. Books.com, B-O-U-Q-S.com, is a better way to buy flowers. The Books company offers fully transparent pricing, an easy, affordable shopping experience, and an incredible curated selection of flowers starting at $40, including free delivery. Each bouquet, I'm assuming, is what they're speaking of. Each book is sustainably farmed and comes straight from grower to customer, meaning your flowers last longer and cost less to buy. This year, show every mom in your life you care. Mother's Day is coming up, folks. Show every mom in your life you care with flowers from the Books Company. Special offer for our listeners here at Young and Happy. Order now and get 20% off. Hurry, flowers will sell out, so don't wait. Visit Books.com and enter Young for 20% off your Mother's Day purchase. This is a good deal. I might do this.
That's, you have to.
I know, but I think my mom listens to the podcast, so then I'm not really catching her. I might do this, but I'll probably have to do something else too. That's B-O-U-Q-S.com, code YOUNG, Y-O-U-N-G, YOUNG, at checkout.
There's no better way to get out of the doghouse or just stay out of the doghouse or to impress a young lady that you're courting or make yourself seem like a gentleman if you're meeting someone's mom or you just want to make someone fucking feel good, sling some flowers around. Due to whip flowers around are fucking doing it.
Yeah, and let me tell you this too. We got young listeners here. Let's prove – we have some – I don't know if I'm supposed to read this or not, but they gave us like some facts about the company in the read. And they're talking about their different parts of their company. And their primary target is the majority of flower buyers, which are men aged 25 to 65. That surprised me that people don't get into the flower game until they're 25. If you're younger than 25 and you listen to this, which I think a lot of our listeners are, this is next level, literally. Like, people don't start doing this until I'm 24. Like, if you're in the flower game, you're doing next level things. So go to books.com. Use
so
code
simple.
Young.
It's like fucking, it's tale as old as time.
Tale as old as time, man. So that's the code's Young. So it's not y'all on that one. It's Young. 20% off. Get your mom some.
I'm Hillary Clinton. This is Young and Happy.
Okay, Ron, basketball. Varsity basketball. You want to talk about it? Tell me what you want to talk about and we'll talk about
Dude,
it.
Dude, I got to talk about this shit because there seems like there's a lot of dysfunction. I don't know if you guys, do you guys need a mascot?
Well, I am the team mascot.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about your barb. You're a mascot.
Yeah, Francis, my boy Francis in the office. He's one of my best friends in the office. I love him.
He mascotted you.
He mascotted
Damn. Me. Yo, I literally was like, that was one of my dreams to be a mascot as a child. And by the time I was in seventh and eighth grade at my grade school with the Waldron Tigers, I was in that mascot suit. So
you've done it before. You have experience.
I've been a mascot, all right? So maybe have a little bit of respect for people who have actually been mascots before you just go calling some regular Joe Schmo a mascot.
Yeah.
Some people have put some dedication behind this.
So, like, disrespect, major disrespect to people.
To
like,
a real mascot. The fan was in the suit, all right? Like, so there was a fucking fan in the top of the suit because it got so goddamn hot in there. I wasn't just a fan in a suit. There was a fan in the suit.
Yo, Francis really fired us up, man. He might as well said something about Buddha Ben. He might as well said, like, you're going to hell for smoking weed. And then that would have just came at the entire Young and Happy with that mascot comment. Coming at me was who he directed at it. Then if he was coming at you because you were actually a mascot and basically was completely making fun of the entire mascot culture.
Damn.
She's coming at the whole Young and Happy squad.
Not the mascots. No. Basketball is Ben's number one best sport.
Mm-hmm. But by the way, I know people probably don't care at home, but just so it's this is more of just a direct message to Ben who's sitting here with me. You still have refused to show up to the court. I've played. Since you've met me this $100 bet, I've been on the courts. I've been playing. I've been where, and you know where to find me.
I do a lot.
You still have refused. You have refused to pay me my $100.
I'd be open to playing one-on-one. I have a lot of work on those nights, so I haven't been able to make it. But I am a member of Texas basketball team that he's a coach for. A lot of high hopes for this team. I will be running point.
Yeah, so basically I've been hearing that Texas having a team that's basically going to be full of ringers.
I'm the point guard.
Well, I've been hearing that you guys are going to have a bunch of ringers from Rutgers, like his friends from Rutgers, like the football players, basketball players from Rutgers are going to play on the team. So, like, chance of any of the Barstool people getting burned is very small. Also, Ben, I'm going to let you know now, bro. Actually, I'm not even going to say it. I'm just going to wait and let my game speak for itself.
To Hank. Talk to YP. We played 21 the other day.
And who won?
We played 4 games, 21. I won the first game and the last game.
Okay, so I played against Hank and YP as well this Sunday. And not to get too much into basketball meat measuring, but I won both games handily.
I won 2 out of 4 games.
Also, let me remind you, as Rona's my witness, we already played each other in Houston. I beat you.
And we played a game of 21 right before that game of 21. And who won, Ron?
I guess Ben did win, yeah. I think that I have all these intentions of coming in there as this peacemaker and being all positive, but now as I'm in the middle of some of these conversations, I want to do nothing but instigate. I'm just feeling myself turn into a little devil.
There's no point in peacemaking here, man. There's just no point.
Are you going to start a feud?
No, I think I'm going to be the little fucking devil that's just like stoking both sides of the fire. I think I'm about to stoke the flames a bunch. I think that I'm going to just be coming in and fucking whooping it up.
And if you are going to be in a feud, what a coincidence, Rome, because if people at home don't want to miss it, or any other late in-office grudge or must-see video, you can get everyone's hot take by going to the App Store and downloading Just the Tip. Oh, oops. I mean, that said, download the Barstool app today. The Barstool app. Make sure you're staying up to date with everything Barstool. That's an in-house read. Holla at your boy, CP.
That's damn, I think that I want to be an instigator now. I think shit just got way more interesting. Fuck coming in and making peace, because from the outside it looks a little riled up, but once you get your foot in the mud, it gets a little bit comfortable getting down and dirty. Living in the gutter a little bit. Yeah. Say, I'd like to see you two play basketball against one another.
Well, we got $100 on the line, and I'm coming to a point in my life where I need this $100 badly.
Fuck, yeah, you've had tax problems.
You know what I should have done? Some evasion.
Damn, you really should have. Home evasion.
Tax fraud. I should have frauded. I should have evaded.
It worked for Beanie Siegel.
Works for a lot of people in jail.
That was a funny comment.
Dude, go ahead. Yeah? Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, I want to go back to the basketball thing.
Okay.
Because as much as I do like to instigate, and as much as I will enjoy messing around a little bit and firing everyone up, I also like to be a part of a squad and have the whole squad winning. And I think all the infighting on the basketball team, that's not it. That's not...
You know, you're saying that's not the way to win?
Yeah, I want to. So, is Fran the new coach?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be either Fran or Dave. The thing about our team, and I think I worry about the basketball stuff because I'm like, it seems bigger than it is. Because when you go to the gym, it's just really just us. It's just the other guys. It's rec league. It's a small gym. It's just crappy gym. And then we suck, dude. Like, it's not as much about like, yo, I didn't get enough minutes, or it's not much about like coaching strategy was terrible. It's just like we suck at basketball. Like I can't hit the broadside of a barn, and that shows you how little respect I have for Buddha Ben's game.
Sad. Who are the opponents? The
opponents are just like little white guys. We have yet to play a black opponent.
You guys have lost twice to white guys
by double digits. Like we suck, man. We suck.
When I you guys are absolute idiots for shooting fucking 3-pointers.
But
you're not the Warriors.
Roan. When you watch basketball or you've played in the past, you have an understanding of like what's a good look, what's not a good look. Don't pass up a good look, and then pass the ball if you don't have one or drive the basket. They're not defending the perimeter. So you get the ball, and you're like, yo, this is a shot that goes up
exactly.
in any other game.
They know what's up. They know what's up. They're playing fucking men's league smart basketball, and they're like crowding the paint, and they're fucking beating you in a fucking
mental warfare.
Yeah, it's fucking men's league basketball. It's fucking old, unathletic dudes. You fucking pass the ball around, try and get close to the basket, and shoot an easy fucking basket.
But listen, if we were to leave the other teams unguarded like that, they would beat us by even more because they have some good shooters. They're not old men. They're just like guys who work on like Wall Street or guys who work in, you know, whatever other industry is in New York City that they would have records.
Are they older
for.
Than you guys?
No, there's
they just
not.
Play basketball.
They're hoopers. They're little like rec league hoopers, and we don't have
no
any hoopers.
No one hoops regularly. K Marco, does he might play on like a team?
Yeah, K
what
Marco
we should do is all be GMs and just because we probably all have like boys in New York who we could just put a squad together with. We should all GM squads and have our squads GM and fucking bet on them like we're fucking oil tycoons and have our players playing against each other like fucking stacking our squads, getting whoever we can
it's
to play on our squads.
Mandingo fighting.
Yeah. Exactly that. With I think that that's the best way. But I just want to be there in the building just so I can clap it up and just so I can say, let's go, squad. You guys got this. And so I can give some encouragement. I want to cheerlead.
Well,
I want to be in the stands.
I got good news for you then. You're going to be back Monday, right?
I think I'm going to get a ticket back on Monday. I'm pretty sure I fly back on Monday.
We have a game Monday night you can come to.
Where's it at? What time?
I'll send you the info. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know we play next Monday night. So you can come. You can watch the Barstool guys, and that will be your first thing back in Barstool. And boy, am I ready for us to do the show together, pop off videos together, just make this thing turn into something real. Like everyone who's come with us to this point, you really went through. It's like going through like a long distance relationship, literally, and then like you made it through the hard part. Like long distance relationships suck. You guys made it through the hard part. Now you're about to get the good stuff. Like you're about to get the being together all the time, the good stuff. So, Ron, before we leave, we were like running about an hour, so I know that's kind of what we run. I want to ask you one question. That's a serious question. Before I leave, what should I wear tomorrow to the draft? Or tonight when this comes out, but to the draft.
So where are you going to be? I need a little background.
Philly. Oh,
what events are you going to? Who are you going to be with?
Don't know.
How long are you going to be out?
Don't know.
Are you with Mitch?
Yeah. Well, so he has like he got a table, like the draft table, but like it's not very big. So like at his table will be his family. He's a huge family. He's like he's Catholic. I don't know if you
Billion
guys know
brother.
Anything about the Catholics, but they don't like to do the old protected sex. So he has a big
they
family.
They hate sex, but love fucking.
Well, they hate protected sex. Anyways, shout out to that guy, Mitchell. He's going to have a big night tomorrow night. His table is, when I asked him last week if I could come, because I didn't know if I was going to be able to come for work, but he's like, for sure, table's full. I'm going to put you with the rest of my fam. So I guess I'll be in the audience. And then I don't know anything else about the – like, I have no idea what else is going on.
Yeah, like, it could his shit be like, all right, you're going to Arizona. Like, get on a plane.
I think it would be tomorrow. Like, I mean, the day after. So I think – I haven't asked, but just from, like, my knowledge of other people, like, I think that the next day you, like, go see your team. So I think we're definitely going to have that night of celebrating. I don't imagine we're going to be like in the Philly clubs with like Meek Mill and Will Smith. I think they would probably be like family and friends in a hotel.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of the Philly clubs are like, there's not that many clubs that are just equipped to fucking have a million draftees in town just all celebrating. You know what I mean? I mean, there might be a couple people out, but I don't know.
These teams like the Cleveland Browns aren't going to want to see like, oh, our new number one draft pick popping bottles with...
Yeah, he's at Club Risque.
Yeah, exactly. With Philly's finest,
he's
Smitty.
At Egypt on the waterfront.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about like wearing like something in like in honor to the military. Like, yo, like this draft's not the important draft. Think about that.
Yeah, how much about you do you want to make it?
Like these, I just like wanted like shout out to Zero Blog 30. Like, get excited as you want about the NFL draft, there's more important things going on in the world.
Wear a Zero Block 30 shirt then. Or do some stolen valor and just wear a full military uniform.
Still
take
some,
a bunch of
is it still stolen valor if you're trying to promote good causes?
Yeah, that's what, like, you're trying to promote good causes, but everybody else doesn't. So it's
I'm
not
like the Robin Hood of the military.
Exactly, but just no one knows. It's just very private. Okay. Everybody just thinks you're a thief. But, man, that's a pretty exciting night event. Like, I'm fucking nervous for him, and I'm fucking A to C. You know what I mean? You're A to B. He's A to A. How fucking nervous is he? Have you spoken with friend of the program, Mitchell?
Friend of the program, I talked to him not about the draft. I mean, there's no new. The crazy thing about the draft is like the projections and all this stuff changes every day. But like, there's no new news since the combine. Like, there's nothing new that's happened. Like, I'm sure that the teams like who they like personality wise. But at the end of the day, if you're making personnel decisions based on personality in the NFL, maybe a quarterback is important, but I certainly don't think the other positions is important. It should matter what you did on the field and then how you stacked up in the combine and how much of a liability are you? Like, are you a liability to commit a crime during the season or do something that's going to be a cancer to the team? Okay, no? Okay, how did you play? You played great. Awesome. How did you measure up? You measured up good. Great. That's all the info you really need to have, I really think, at the core of it. And then somehow they have this information, and then for 3 months the projections change every day. Mel Kiper changes what he thinks. Todd McShay changes what he thinks. Dude, on what information are they changing it on? So I think, to my understanding, and I haven't asked a bunch, but to my understanding, Mitchell just kind of like, okay, like, let's just get this thing over with because it changes every day. One day, number one, the Cleveland Browns. The next day, number, you know, going to the Buffalo Bills, a double-digit draft pick. So it's like, we'll see what happens.
So my last question it's two-pronged. Where do you want Mitchell to get drafted?
Cleveland.
And where do you think Mitchell will get drafted?
Either Cleveland or the Jets.
So 1 or 12 and 6?
I don't think he goes past 6. I think the latest he gets drafted is 6 with the Jets. Because I think the Jets will take him if he's available at 6. I think that Cleveland, even though everyone, like right now the Vegas odds are, I think it's like you have to put, to win $100, you have to put $1,050 on Myles Garrett. Like Myles Garrett is, I don't know how you would say that. I'm not really a gambler, but like basically
-1500.
Yeah, -1500, I guess, on Myles Garrett to be the first overall. I still think there's a chance that they take him, and this is the reason I say that, because I think that if they want to get a quarterback, I think they definitely want him over Watson and Kaiser, and I think smart on them for wanting him over Watson and Kaiser. So if they want to get both him and Garrett, then I don't think that's possible. Like, I don't think they can trade up from 12 and take like their number one pick, get Garrett, and then have like a number 7 or 5 pick and get Mitchell, because I think the 49ers, I mean, it's risky. Maybe he's available at 5, but I think they can get that pick from the Titans. But I think that the 49ers are eyeing it, thinking about it. I think the Bears are thinking about it. Those are 2 and 3. So it's like, I think if they really, really want to be safe, they got to take, they want a quarterback, they got to take him first, the Browns. And I want him to go to the Browns because I think he's from Cleveland. It would be like such a great story. I have faith in him as a quarterback. I think he needs like a year. I've said it before. He needs like a year at least to learn it before he's expected to perform.
No way Cleveland gives him a year. You think they'll give him a year?
It's going to be tough, man, especially if you're first overall. So that's the tough part about that. But the Jets also, I think, love him, and they're at 6. If he slips by Cleveland, I would expect the Jets to get him at 6. I don't think he goes any later than 6. I've seen him to the Buffalo Bills at, I think they have 10. Or 12, I don't see him being that late, but I think that's absolutely...
Are you worried that the Jets have a lot of quarterbacks right now?
No, because I think that means, like, was it Hackenberg they have from Penn State?
And Geno Smith and fucking...
Yeah, let one of those guys play this next year. Like, let him. I'm not worried about Hackenberg, like, starting a huge career. The worst thing that could happen to Mitchell is not him being picked 12th or not him being picked 15th or not something like that. The worst thing that could happen to him is if he's thrown into the fire day one starter. And I'm not saying that he couldn't overcome it, but I just think that's the worst case scenario. behind a bad offensive line. Like, if he has to be the starter in Cleveland day one, that's probably the worst case scenario for him. And I don't think he can't overcome it. And also, let's keep in mind that that comes with, like, what, $16 million guaranteed, that bad scenario. So I think he's going to be good, man. I have a lot of faith in him as a guy and as a quarterback. So I think really I'm just rooting for him to get the process over with so he can find a home. Also, if he goes to the Jets,
Really moving out.
I would be interested. Yeah, I'd be interested to see, like, I don't know where the Jets live. I think the Giants all live in, like, Hoboken and Jersey City. If he lives in one of those two places, then I'll probably see if he wants to live together. If he wants to live all the way out by the Jets facilities, though, like, that's too far. Then I'm not going out there.
But what if he wants to live by, like, where's Pugh live?
Pugh lives in Jersey City. That's not that far from the office. It's like this 30-minute commute.
Yeah, and that's about what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm already doing that. But then keep in mind, too, like, dude, this guy's going to be an NFL quarterback. Like, he's not going to be, like, college roommate. You know, like, it's different being college roommate.
Oh, hell no. It's not like you're playing fucking Madden with him every night.
Right, that's what we used to do, watching
Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, we were watching, like, what was that show we used to watch? Oh, How I Met Your Mother. Watch, like, 8 seasons of that. We were in bunk beds. Like, I don't – that's not going
to
be –
You meant to watch 8 seasons of How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, that's what, like, the show we watch. So, like
– Why?
That's a good show. I don't know.
Is it?
I love that show.
What? Ben, is How I Met Your Mother a good show?
I've never seen it.
It's a fantastic show. Have you ever seen it, or you just think it's a funny name?
I haven't seen enough of it, I guess. Who's the main actor in it? It's not Jason Segel.
Neil Patrick Harris.
No, it's not Neil Patrick
Harris.
Yeah,
he's in it. Yeah, he is.
No, it's like, who's
the main actor? I don't know his name.
Exactly. No one knows his name, and he's the main actor of the show. Does that bode well for the show?
I think it bodes well for the storyline and for, like, the how involved you get with the characters, because I don't fall. He doesn't. Not
Josh,
like a movie
Radner.
Star. Yeah, it still
Radner?
Like doesn't even ring a bell.
It's a town.
He's from, though, in just a fun fact, in the movie, I mean, in the show, he's from a small high school in Ohio, right next to where Mitchell went to high school.
Oh, so that makes sense.
It's a good show, man.
Boy Meets World.
You're going to get – listen, if I know one thing about people that listen to our show is that they're smart enough to fire you up tomorrow on social media for saying what you just said about How I Met Your Mother.
It's narrated by Bob Saget.
Yeah, Bob Saget narrates it.
That's
How
cool.
I Met Your Mother is probably – if an NFL team is hearing this right now, that's probably a red flag. Like, what? He watched 8 seasons of How I Met Your Mother?
I think it's like 9 seasons, to be honest with you.
Questionable taste. Questionable decision making.
Yeah, decision making subpar maybe. Anyway, so yeah, even though, like, it's not gonna be like that. So, like, living together, it's not the same situation as living together in college. Like, you're not being college. If you're expected to be NFL starting quarterback, you're not gonna be at the house, you're not gonna be partying on the weekend. So, you know, it's just, I don't know about all that. Everyone said that to me, like, oh, you guys gonna live together? It's like, I don't know, maybe definitely think about it if he comes to New York, but
get different floors in the same house, though, especially if you're in Jersey City. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but anyway,
as far as what to wear tonight, just look back on. Remember when Johnny Manziel had his best friend who was his money manager back in college, and he would wear like a lot of like open unbuttoned short sleeve button downs with his chest hanging out, sunglasses, sideways hat. I think that's what you should be wearing tonight. Gaudy.
All right. Let me see if I can put something together. I'll also try to think of something to not stolen valor, but let's just keep in mind what the real draft is. So, all right, Roni. Next week in studio, live and in person.
See you guys soon.
All right, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Draft day. Johnny Manziel, 5 years later, how am I the man still? Draft day, A. Wiggins, fuck that other side, bitch, we stay winning. Oh man, you know I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. Yeah, suits and ties yelling out, pay the guys, man, I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. Oh man. Oh man, oh man, man, you know I had to. Sometimes I laugh with God about how you can't stop me. I'm his darkest angel, probably, but he still got me. Yeah,
I'm getting mine, but still I better live. The shit I set aside to make sure that my people getting by. Brunch with some guitar royals and my cup is all oil. You know it's rare when your niggas will take the fall for you. All loyal, so you keep egging me on, and we gon' have to crack your shell just to prove to you you ain't hard boiled. Last night I tried some raw oysters. Man, that boy growing up quick. That boy know he the shit. That boy singing on every song when he know he could spit. That boy manifested it. That boy knew it was written. That boy did it on purpose. That boy know that they shitting on you when they can't get past you. You should've followed all my moves. You won't realize till after. And if I left this shit to Chance, I would've picked a name like Chance the Rapper. Yeah, no offense, cause I don't know that nigga. I'm focused on making records and getting bigger. Just hits, no misses, that's for the married folks. Tell them fix my suite up, cause I'm coming home. I heard they talking crazy, I was out of town. You know they love to pop all that shit when I'm not around. But when I'm here, not a sound. That'll make me snap, jot it down. Go in the booth and lay a body down. Know some Somalis that say we got it, wallahi. Get us donuts and coffee, we'll wait for him in the lobby. And I gotta tell him chill. Sprite got me on payroll. Let that man live. They say okay if you say so. See whatever I say go. I play like I'm on roids. No Conseco. No Oakland A's though. Shout out to Beto. I think I'm on my 8th flow. Just watch me paint flow. We all do it for the art, so I can never hate though. Signing off on more deals than a lawyer with a heavy caseload. How the game turn into the Drake show. Dog, what the fuck happened to so-and-so? Where did they go? Too worried about bitches and fashion. They go missing in action. And then you never notice they missing. On some Hunger Games shit, I would die for my district. Jennifer Lawrence, you can really get it. Yeah, I mean for real, girl, you know I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. You know I had to, oh wait, sidebar. Left some beat at the end so that all of you fuck niggas could loop it and get your lies off. Season. Yeah, draft day, Johnny Manziel. 5 years later, how am I the man still? Draft day, A. Wiggins. Fuck that other side, bitch, we stay winning. Oh, man, you know I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. Yeah, suits and ties yelling out, pay the guys, man, I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man, man. You know I had to.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Parrish from the Retronauts Podcast, a show about classic video games. We're exploring gaming's history every week. We talk about classic video games and how the medium's past feeds into the industry and culture of today. Want to know more about the people who made Destiny? What's the story behind Mario? And yes, we even explain why they call it Final Fantasy when there's 15 of the things. From arcade classics to the latest retro releases, Retronauts covers it all. Subscribe to us on iTunes or right here on the Podcast One Network. Listening to Retronauts won't help you build your gamer score, but you'll rock at bar trivia.